Mildred and I were unexpectedly content together. But it was clear that Odda the Younger hated me because I had married her, and I wondered if he would dare do anything about that hatred. Beoka once told me the tale of a prince from a faraway land who stole a king's daughter, and the king led his army to the prince's land, and thousands of great warriors died in the struggle to get her back. Thousands! And all for a woman! Indeed, the argument that began this tale, the rivalry between King Osbert of Northumbria and Aela, the man who wanted to be king, all began because Aela stole Osbert's wife. I have heard some women complain that they have no power and that men control the world. And so they do. But women still have the power to drive men to battle and to the grave beyond. I was thinking of these things as Alfred came from the tent. He had the look of beatific pleasure he usually wore when he had just said his prayers, but he was also walking stiffly, which probably meant the ficus was troubling him again, and he looked distinctly uncomfortable when we sat down to supper that night. The meal was an unspeakable gruel I would hesitate to serve to pigs, but there was bread and cheese enough, so I did not starve. I did note that Alfred was distant with me, hardly acknowledging my presence, and I put that down to the fleet's failure to achieve any real victory during that summer. Yet he had still summoned me, and I wondered why, if all he intended to do was ignore me. Yet the next morning he summoned me after prayers, and we walked up and down outside the royal tent where the dragon banner flew in the autumn sun. "The fleet," Alfred said, frowning. "Can it prevent the Danes leaving the pool?"
"No, Lord."
"No?"
That was said sharply.
"Why not?"
"Because, Lord," I said, "we have 12 ships, and they have over 200.
We could kill a few of them, but in the end they'll overwhelm us, and you won't have any fleet left, and they'll still have more than 200 ships.
I think Alfred knew that, but he still did not like my answer. He grimaced, then walked in silence for a few more paces.
"I am glad you married," he said abruptly.
"To a debt," I said sharply.
He did not like my tone, but allowed it.
"The debt, Uhtred," he said reprovingly, "is to the church, so you must welcome it. Besides, you're young, you have time to pay. The Lord, remember, loves a cheerful giver."
That was one of his favourite sayings, and if I heard it once, I heard it 1,000 times. He turned on his heel, then looked back.
"I shall expect your presence at the negotiations," he said, but did not explain why, nor wait for any response, but just walked on.